Pastor asked me to read John 10, chapter 10, verses 19 through 42. If you want to turn there in your Bible, please. And if you can stand for God's word. John 10, 19 through 42. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, "He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him?" Others said, "These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind?" And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, "How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, and I said unto you, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, "Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me?" The Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God." Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him." Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand, and went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him and said, "John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true." And many believed on him there.
Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the reading of the scripture. Pray that you bless as we look into it. Challenge our hearts from what you've laid on our heart today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Lord, lay some soul upon my heart, and love that soul through me, and may I faithfully do my part to win that soul for thee. Lord, there are souls that I should win, lost souls for whom you died, and may I never draw back or sin with fear or pride. Lord, may I love as you have loved the souls of those I know, and grant me power from heaven above, for they I show to you. them.
We saw in the first 18 verses of this chapter that the good shepherd has a relationship with his sheep. He provides for his sheep, and he has a heart for his sheep. Not religion, but relationship. He knows exactly what we need and just how we need it. And he provides for us. To the good shepherd, I'm not just another sheep. I'm in his heart. He gives us life, abundant life that goes beyond the temporal, the tangible. When we read that verse in the first 18 verses, give us life more abundantly. He's not talking about something that is tangible or temporal or a new car or a new purse. He's talking about life eternal. Life eternal begins at salvation. We're often quick to respond when we hear those who would kill a baby, murder a baby, that life begins at conception. And eternal life begins at spiritual conception.
Amen.
And so we need to understand that. I want us to look today and to think about this. In this chapter, Jesus uses an object lesson that everyone knows. They were very familiar, and they understood completely. This was not a normal thing, the shepherd and the sheep. It was an animal that provided them raiment, it provided them food, and even at the time of sacrifice, there was a lamb for the sacrifice. This is the only chapter in John that mentions the shepherd, if you read and study. And this conversation begins as we read at the Feast of Dedication. The Feast of Dedication was a joyous time. It was a time of victory. It was a time when the temple and the altar was once more sacrificed. Antiochus Epiphanes III came into the temple and sacrificed a pig on the altar. And during his reign, there were many more. If you read about it, if you can find any history books, they blotted out of history. But you find that he was, that Hitler was nothing to him compared to him. But in 164 BC, some men named the Maccabees came and defeated them, killed him, and rededicated the temple and the altar. And so this Feast of Dedication was a time. It was as festive as the time of the Feast of Tabernacles, when they would make the tabernacles. It was very colorful. And it's a very joyous time for the Jews. And Jesus comes to celebrate with them. And he comes, and the Pharisees are seething at this point. The Pharisees, throughout the gospel, we've seen the hate, the vitriol from the Pharisees. Jesus had said some things and done some things, and they wanted him dead. They wanted him dead, and every statement he made just made them mad, and they got more worked up, and they were mad out of their minds. But they could not do anything until it was divinely allowed. It was not the time for him to die at that point. And as we see in this scripture, in verses 19 through 21, they are divided. Brother Glade just read, they were getting divided among themselves. If you look at that conversation in verses 19 through 21, there was a division among them. And they said, how can he be a devil when he makes a man to see? You know, well, they probably said, well, you know, he did it on the Sabbath. He didn't do it the way we think he should. And so the Pharisees were upset. In verse 24, they tried to trap him. They wanted him to say make a certain statement. And then verses 31 through 33, they pick up and they're going to stone him. And then in verse 39, they want to arrest him. Why did they want to kill him? What did he say? What did he do? We'll answer those questions in just a moment. But I want us to focus on Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. And I want to focus on three phrases this morning and challenge you from God's Word to rejoice in your salvation, to understand how long your salvation lasts. And I want you, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior, I want you to understand that today is the day of salvation. If you don't know Jesus Christ as personal Savior and you walk about this world without Him, you're playing roulette with your life. Amen.
And you need to consider Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. And you need to consider coming to Him as your own personal Savior. You say, preacher, that's a personal question. Yes, it is a personal question. And personally, if you do not receive Him, you will personally spend eternity in hell. That's what the Bible says.
Amen.
And I, if I could make you, I would. If I could be saved for you and me too, I would. But I can't. I can only be faithful to preach the gospel and trust the Holy Spirit of God to work in your heart. And so let's look at this portion of Scripture. And I want us to look at verses 27 through 29 in your Bible. If you have your Bible, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And verses 27 through 29, I want us to think about the phrase, my sheep. My sheep. I thought about that last night. I said, you know, this sheep are kind of stinky.
And stupid.
You had to put that in there. And my wife would say, yes, you are.
Amen.
And they're aimless. You know, we sometimes think in ourselves that we got this thing covered. We got this planned out, right? Right? We think we know something. And we have no idea.
Amen.
We have no idea. We have no idea. And God calls us. He says, my sheep, notice what it says, hear my voice. They listen. We know that they knew the shepherd's voice. It's interesting. It's interesting that you know the voice of your children. They call you, you know their names. Now, my son, Patrick, and I, sometimes I'll call somebody and they say, is this Patrick or Pat Jr.? They want to know because our voices sound the same to them. I don't think they do, but people say they do. But you know the voice of, and these sheep knew their shepherd's voice. And let me just say something. You and I should know the voice of God. We should be listening. He says, my sheep hear my voice. And notice what it says in verse 27. It says, I know them. I know them. God knows you. He knows exactly what you're thinking right now. He knows exactly what you're struggling with. He knows what you struggled with yesterday. He knows what you're going to face tomorrow. He knows everything about you. And if you missed Sunday school, you missed a great lesson. God tests us in these detours. And He does that to reveal what's in our heart. God knows what's in your heart. You cannot hide it from Him. And just as a doctor gives you a diagnosis, you say, "May I feel fine. I'm okay." But the doctor says, well, let's run some tests. Amen? And the tests reveal. And so He knows. He says, I know them. He says, I know them. Not only does He know you, and that word know, I think about Him knowing our hearts, but I also think about the fact that He has a relationship with us. And then it says, and they what? Follow me. They follow me. They submit. You know, you're following somebody today. Everybody follows someone.
Yep.
Everybody is following someone. Some of you ladies like to follow certain people, these bake shows. My mom was talking about some lady on there that's barefoot.
Barefoot
Contessa, whatever. And they said, I used to watch that guy that used to be that down there in Louisiana. I forget his name, and he used to cook. I used to like to hear him talk. Mm-hmm. But you follow certain people. You fellas follow certain teams that you like, and follow certain authors. Ladies like to read certain authors. Miss Creed likes to read certain books, and I hear getting conversation with others that read books, and they talk about the same author, and so it's on, you know, and we. But as far as our spiritual life, who are we following?
Jesus.
You're following somebody. You're following the good shepherd or you're following the bad shepherd.
Right.
And so we're following somebody. And then He says, my sheep hear my voice. And I want you to notice again, He says, and I give unto them eternal life. It's a gift. Salvation is a gift. There's nothing you can do to be saved. You have to call on the Lord and receive Him. That's the receiving part. But everything's done. It's paid for. There's no installment plan. There's no work that you can do. There's no life change. God does the changing.
Amen.
And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Don't look at some movie called Left Behind, or don't listen to some numbskull behind a pulpit that is a false prophet that tells you, you may, God, if you're not a good Christian, you're not this. We're not all of us are not good Christians.
Right.
We're struggling.
Right.
We're trying to make it. You say, preacher, I would do this in church and I would do that in church, but I stop that. You say, preacher, I would be a member of the church, but this, stop that. I do this, but no, just realize, folks, we're all in the same boat.
Yeah.
Nobody's better than the next.
That's right.
And God says to you, God says, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Let me just tell you something. The Bible never teaches that a child of God can be unsaved.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
You cannot unsave yourself. Don't find yourself saying to someone, you know, my relative got saved, but I don't know if it took. Where does that come from? I'm looking. I can't find that. Stop it. Stop saying stupid things.
Amen.
Don't say things that are not biblical. Salvation is sacred. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, He paid for our sin. And when He saves you, He saves you completely. And He said, notice what He says. He says, and I give unto them eternal life, and that's security. And it says, and they shall never perish. And notice what it says. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. God, you can't unsave yourself.
Amen.
Now, you can lose your keys. You can lose your checkbook. You can lose your wallet. But you can't lose your salvation.
That's right.
And He says, my Father which gave them me is what? Greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand.
Amen.
And it goes on to say in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 that we're sealed by the Spirit of God.
Amen. Amen.
You say, well, how am I sealed? Does the Holy Spirit come down and go, no. When you are indwelled at salvation, that's the sealing.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
So I am in Jesus and He's in the Father, and then there's the Holy Spirit. You are sealed by the Godhead.
Amen.
All God saves you all. And you're kept. Amen?
Amen?
My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. We cannot escape God's grip. My sheep. We're His sheep. He says something else in verses 29 through 30 and 37 through 38, he says, my Father. He talks about the Father. Now, this is a precious thing to Him. It's a precious thing to us because when we're saved, we call God our Father. The Creator and the Sustainer of the world. The One who sent Jesus Christ to die for wicked sinners like you and me. We get to call Him Father. Yeah. Yeah. We looked at that on Wednesday night. That we are placed as adult sons. We're adopted. God takes us. Gives us a name. His Spirit. A place. He provides for us. And He says, my Father. Notice what He says in verse 29. My Father, which gave them all, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Now, and then He goes down to say that they get mad at Him. The Pharisees get mad at Him, and they're up getting ready to stone Him. And in verse 37, it says, "If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not." I want you to notice he said something else to them. He said, verse 35, if ye called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken. You say, preacher, what is He saying? What is He saying there in verse 35? Let me get you to understand this. He's quoting from Psalm 82 and verse 6. By the way, Jesus knows his word.
Amen.
Amen.
He says in verse in Psalm 82, verse 6 and following, it says this: I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High, but ye shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. What is he saying in short there? What is the psalmist saying there? He's saying, listen, your authority, you're supposed to be the spiritual authority here, and you're going to be judged. You're going to be judged for this. You're going to be judged. By God. By God. What are you saying, preacher? My Father. Jesus was saying, I am God. He says, I and my Father are one. I'll say this. I've said this before and I'll say it again. You say, do you completely understand it? No, but I believe it.
Amen.
I believe it. And because I believe it, God blesses. And God, I understand more and more. One day I'll understand it in the sweet by and by. Amen?
Amen.
But right now I don't completely understand it. Don't beat yourself for not understanding completely. Spurgeon said, he was talking about the free will and the predestination of God. And he said it's like a rope that's hung on a pole in heaven. And we just see the end of it. We're not going to understand the rest till we get to heaven. We're not going to understand. We have finite, sinful minds. We have minds that are fickle. And we have minds... Amen. That cannot, we have to completely immerse ourselves in the Word of God and ask God to fill us with His Spirit to stay on track. And we don't do that all the time. We don't pray like we ought. We don't act like we ought. But God says, hey, this is it. And we need to believe it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so the my Father, Jesus said, the Father sanctified me. Notice what it says there. In verse 38, but if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know that I believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Now, what is he saying? In verse 36, it says this: Say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified. You see that word sanctified? That means to be set apart. What God is saying is, hey, listen, the Father set me apart. God Almighty set apart Jesus to come and die on the cross. For God so loved the world that he what? Gave his only begotten Son. He set him apart to come. Now, let me just say something, folks. They knew from the Old Testament writings that Jesus was supposed to come. They knew that there would be a sacrifice. See? But he says, my Father, my Father. Again, Jesus says, I'm doing the works of the Father. Think about what Jesus has done to this point. What has Jesus done to this point in our study? And John, what has he done? He made the water into wine. He saved people. Mm-hmm. He's called people. He's healed people. What do you call that? That's the works of the Father. That's the works of the Father. And he's doing the works of the Father. So my sheep and my Father, let me give you these last two words, my works. I want you to think about that, my works. Notice what he says there in verse 37. If I do not the works of my Father. Now how can one do the works of another if there's not a connection? Jesus said another portion, I do always those things that please him. When Jesus was baptized in the Jordan of John the Baptist, God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He says, I'm doing the works. Everything he was doing in connection. Why? Because he was God the Son. Because he was God. Because he was doing the works, and he was doing what he was sent here to do. Now, I want you to notice this again. Jesus, he says, believe my works. You ever thought about that? He says, believe my works. Actions speak louder than what?
Words.
Wow, isn't that a thought? Actions speak a lot louder than words. Although we live in a world where we're letting words define people, and people, you know, if we could take some words back, we would. But you can't. But you can change. What's more, God can change you. He says, my works, he says, the world promises that we live in a world where people believe and use rhetoric and or words to speak lies. They promise they will never and never included, never intended to follow on and the lies continue. But Jesus said, believe my works. He says, if you got problems with my word, believe my works. Back up when you read Glade in verse 19, they had division, and some of the Jews said, hey, does a devil give a man his sight back? Believe my works. Believe my works. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying as born-again believers today, we have a good shepherd. And we need to listen to his voice because he knows us and we need to follow him. We don't need to walk around like we one day we're saved and another day we're not. We're his children. We're his children. Now what's the application this morning, preacher? Here it is. I want you to notice this. Jesus returns to the place where he was baptized in verses 40 and 41. And he would not return to Jerusalem again until the triumphal entry. Palm Sunday, they call it. He'd not return. And so he's there, and this is the place where John preached the truth about Jesus, that he was God. And notice verse 42, it says, what? Many believed on him. You imagine what's going on with these Jews, and they're at Jesus, back and forth at Jesus, and in the midst of that, he's still saving people. Let me just tell you something. Jesus is still saving.
Amen.
Jesus is still saving. The Good Shepherd is still saving. Let me make application by saying this. Why did they want to kill Jesus? Why did these Jews, these people, part of God's chosen people, why did they want to kill him? Well, they wanted to kill him because they did not believe. The key to eternal life is belief. Believe. They did not believe. They did not believe. Believe involves two things, faith and trust. And if you're not willing to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, you're going to have a problem with what he says. People are going to have a problem with what you say. You talk about knowing Jesus Christ and having eternal life, and they're going to say, you know, that's a fairy tale, and they're going to go on and on. Why? Because they don't believe. Have you tried to talk to your relatives about Jesus and they don't believe? It's like butting your head against a wall. But then you talk to somebody and you share Christ with them and they believe. That's changes everything.
Amen. That's good.
It changes everything. They did not believe. Why did they want to kill him? Because they were not his sheep. They weren't trying to follow him. You see, they wanted control of people. The rabbinical law, the Pharisaical law, was designed to control people. Let me just say, we're living in a world where people want to control you.
Right.
It's not what it's about. It's about being submissive to God, to his Spirit, to his Word. They wanted to kill him because they had no relationship with Jesus Christ. Have you met people? I go to church, yeah. But that's as far as it went. Listen, there are people that go to church and they run up and down the aisles, they sing, they light a candle, they confess to a priest. They do this and they chant this and they chant that. And they have no relationship with Jesus Christ. Religion is man-made. Relationship is God-given. Do you understand that? At all, it excites you. That you are related to this one we're talking about. We're heirs and joint heirs.
Amen. Thank
you, Lord. Do you ever hear people talking about God and you say, they have no idea. They have no idea who He is. Or they wouldn't say what they're saying. I want you to notice they wanted to kill Him because they were losing control. They were losing grip of the people. You see, the money thing, they were in it for themselves. They have power. Power and money are two things that Satan uses.
That's right.
And I'll tell you why they wanted to kill Him finally. They wanted to kill Jesus because their father was the devil. John 8:44 tells them, He told them that. Now, let me just say big picture. I know in the back of your mind you're saying, big picture, preacher, they want to kill Him, but ultimately He did die, but it was not time. It was not time. His hour had not yet come. He laid down His life when it was time. At the time and the place. See, God has a plan. And He's working that plan. Now, what else you want to say, preacher? Well, I want to say, if you already know the Good Shepherd, you ought to rejoice in the love and the provision and the secure relationship you have with Him. And you ought to listen to His voice. You say, preacher, where's His voice? It's in the Holy Bible. It's in the Holy Spirit. It's in circumstances He allows. My sheep hear My voice. That means you have to be able to hear. And if you're going to hear, that means you have to turn some stuff off. Turn some people off. I saw a little thing once in a while on Twitter. I get things that just cause me to just stop and just shake my head. And there was this little boy, and they were working on this little boy, and they were working on his ear, and he was crying, and they took their hand away from his ear, and they started talking to him, and he stopped crying. He started looking. It was the first time he'd ever heard.
Amen.
My heart leaped. Mm-hmm. And then I was studying this message at the same time, and God says, hey, you've been hearing all along. I've been speaking to you all along. You need to listen to Me, Pat. God wants us to follow Him. God wants to follow Him. Paul said, follow Me as I follow Christ. Listen, we need to follow Him. And are you hearing and are you following? If you don't know Christ today, I beg you, trust Him. Don't come in here and say, well, preacher, I have this religion or I have that religion. You need a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you do not know today that if you died, you would be in heaven with Him, you can know. You can know. And you can't do anything to know. You can only receive. It's a gift of God. My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. That should be our desire. He's the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down His life for His sheep. He cares for you. He provides for you. He wants you to be the best you for Him you can be. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. No one looking around. And I want to ask you a couple questions and we'll be done. Hey, preacher, if I die today, I know for sure I go to heaven. Christ is my Savior. Heaven is my home. Would you slip your hand up as a testimony? Amen. You may put your hands down. If you're here and you say, I could not raise my hand. I don't know Jesus as my Savior. Would you pray for me? Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up and just put it back down? Preacher, I don't know. I don't know. Now, I got to tell you something. No matter how you've been raised or what you've been raised in, if you don't know Jesus, if you cannot give a testimony, that's a problem when you face death. And every one of us will face death. It may be today. Don't face death without Jesus. Don't face death without Jesus. He's our eternal life insurance. He's our eternal life insurance. Now, let me ask you, Christian, are you following him? Are you following him? Are you following him? My sheep hear my voice. Are you listening to God? The world says, let your conscience be your guide. The Bible says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You say, preacher, I'm a Christian, and I'm glad Jesus is my shepherd. But God has spoken to my heart today, and I need to listen, and I need to follow better, and I want to. And I'm going to spend some time with God today, talking to him about that during the invitation. God has spoken to my heart. Would you slip your hand up? Just put it up and put it back down. God bless you. God bless you. I want to let God challenge you to be the sheep you need to be for him. Now, Father, bless the invitation and help us to do business with you. Holy Spirit, we thank you for using your word to speak to us and challenge our hearts in Jesus' name. Let's stand with heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around as the pianist plays. If God spoke to your heart, you get alone with him. Folks are coming, how about you? Are coming. God's working in hearts. God's got you.
Thank you, Lord.
According to his word. And if you think your eternal life depends on you, you're far from it. I challenge you to rest in your salvation.
Amen.
Rest in your salvation.
Amen.
What a great God.
Yes.
What a great season to know the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
As personal Savior. Amen?
Amen.
Well, Sherita had some tests. No, you didn't have tests?
The ninth coming up.
The ninth. She's got some problems with her ribs. When she was boxing the other day, she got a shot to the ribs. She's been having trouble with her ribs, and so pray for her.
Your wife said I was doing sumo wrestling.
Well, I'm rubbing off on her. Forgive her, she knows not what she did. And so continue to pray for her. Miss Wendy and Arnold were out here mowing yesterday and doing work, and she lost her wedding ring outside.
Oh, no.
So let's pray that she finds that, okay?
Yes.
Tim lost his at work. He said, Dawn said he's single now.
I'm married.
Pray for her.
Yes.
Pray for her. Pray for Abba. She's trying to get used to the cold. Right?
Amen.
Amen. We're right here in Maryland. Our what's that word we say for our weather?
It's always changing.
No, it's always changing. What's that medical, psychological condition we call it?
Bipolar.
Yeah, it's bipolar. I mean, it can be snowing and then 70.
Right.
And it's aggravating, but it's kind of fun, too. It's fun to watch people that are not from here. Amen? Well, let's continue to pray for folks and pray for each other. Amen? Faye, did you get back to work part-time, or what are you doing here?
3 weeks.
3 weeks?
It's finished Friday. I'm leaving on Wednesday for the warm weather.
Okay. Well, make sure you come back, okay?
Maybe.
She's ornery. Pray for her. She's one of those ornery sheep. Amen. Well, let's pray for each other during these. And we're in the Christmas holidays. Let's encourage each other. Amen?
Amen.
And I know during the holidays, we often miss people that have gone on before, and we grieve. And so let's trust the Lord for that. They're with Him. Amen.
Amen.
They're in a better place, and the better place. Amen. And so let's continue to pray for each other. Let's close in prayer. Great to see y'all. I heaven's going to be good where we don't have to dismiss.
Amen.
Isn't it going to be good?
Amen.
We don't have anything to do but serve the Lord. That's going to be good times, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen. Well, let's close in prayer. Thank the Lord for the day and what He's done. Frank, how about closing for us?
Father God, we just thank You for who You are, Lord. And Lord, we just thank You for the gracious gift of all Your Son, Lord Jesus Christ, died on the cross, being buried, and raised, rising again on the third day. Lord, just pray for the prayerless, Lord God, those that, Lord, need healing, Lord, that You would heal. Those who are in need, Lord God, that You would meet their needs. And we're always thank You for being faithful, Lord. You're faithful even though we're not faithful. You're always faithful.
Thank You.
And we just thank You, we praise You, and we just thank You, Lord, that we're adopted into Your family. Mm-hmm. Because what Jesus did on the cross for our sins, shed His blood on the cross for our sins. So, mm-hmm. Lord, we worship You and thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.